Okay, we're going to start again the Mishnah. I don't remember if we started the Mishnah last time or not. I don't think so. Okay, this is a din in the ways witnesses could combine to become one group of witness or two group of witnesses. We learned in the previous Gemara that if you have one group of witness of 10 people and one of them is not kosher, all 10 are not kosher. But if it's two groups of witnesses, 5 and 5, let's say, and two separate groups, and one person of group A becomes disqualified, group B is still a good group because it's not the same group as A. Okay? So the Mishnah is going to discuss what makes one group and what makes them two groups. So the Mishnah says as follows. Hayushnayim reyinaisim mechalein zeh. Two people saw a murder from one window. Ushnayim reyinaisim mechalein zeh. And two people see him from a different window. Okay, that means there's a story going on in the middle. Mm-hmm. Reuven's killing Shimon in the middle. Two witnesses see him from one house. Two witnesses see him from another house. So now the question is, ve'echad masre bei be'emz. And one guy is warning the guy not to kill him in the middle. Okay, one guy is doing the warning, because the guy has to be warned. So now the question is this one group or two groups? Okay? So the Mishnah says, "Bizman shemiksasen reyin elu eselu." In a time when part of the witnesses can see one another, "Hadei elu edusachas." It's one group, one group. Vimlav. If they can't see each other, "Hadei elu shtei edus." They're two separate groups.
Can I ask a question?
What?
If the witnesses don't warn the guy, they're not considered witnesses.
No, they're considered witnesses. Here, the Mishnah says the witnesses aren't even warning the guy. Another guy in the middle is warning him. You know, they happen to see it from a window. They didn't even speak to the guy. But they see the way one guy in the middle is warning him, don't do it. And if you do it, you're going to get killed. Okay? And he did it anyway. So now the question is only, the guy was warned. The question is, are these two groups, one group or two groups? So the Mishnah says, if part of the group can see the other part of the group, it's all joined as one group. If they can't, then they can't.
Everybody sees A killing B.
No.
And he didn't. Nobody warned him.
He doesn't get killed.
He get any penalty?
No.
Nothing at all?
No.
From one extreme to another.
Right. I mean, God will take care of him, but Bezdin can't do anything.
What if the guy deaf?
Huh? What if the guy deaf? You have to warn him in sign language. The fikach, therefore, im nimtza echad mehem zeimimis. If one of the groups was found Adam Zaymimin, who vehainerogim, he, the accused one of the crime, gets killed because there's two still kosher witnesses that testified that they saw the murder. Vehainerogim, and the Adam Zaymimin get killed. Vashniya Ptur, and the second group is freed from any punishment. Meaning, there's two separate groups, right? This group became Adam Zaymimin. But this group is still kosher group. So therefore, the murderer gets killed, because there's two kosher witnesses that saw it. They are still Adam Zaymimin, and they get killed, and these guys don't get anything. Rabbi Yosi Eimer, now, this is what the Chachamim hold. Rabbi Yosi Eimer, Rabbi Yosi says, what you were saying, that La'elim Eina Rogin, nobody can ever get killed, Ach Yoshnei Edim Masenbeit, the two witnesses have to warn him. See, the first opinion said, a guy in the middle was warning them. Rabbi Yosi said, and this is what you were saying before, Rabbi Yosi says, the witnesses themselves who watched the murder, they must be the ones that warn him. Nobody else. Why? Shenama, because the Pasuk says, Al Pishna Yemedim, based on the testimony of two witnesses, meaning, everything has to be done through the witnesses. The warning has to be done through the witnesses. The actual testimony, the seeing has to be done through the witnesses. Rabbi Yosi holds, everything has to be done through the witnesses. Okay? And therefore, the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yosi, in this case, when two witnesses saw from this side, and two witnesses saw from this side, and only one guy warned them in the middle, so nobody gets killed.
How far does a witness have to be to warn?
As long as he's a... the guy can hear you. Yeah. Dover Acher, another interpretation of the word al pi shnayim edim, that has to be the mouth of the witnesses. And this we said last time also, we discussed. Al pi shnayim edim, it has to be by the mouth of the witnesses. Shleite sanhedrin shemaz mipia tugamin. Bezdin cannot listen to an interpreter. Because the Torah says, al pi shnayim edim, the Bezdin has to hear it from the horse's mouth, meaning from the witness's mouth. If they hear it from an interpreter, Bezdin didn't hear it from them. And that's what we were discussing last week. You can't do it through the telephone either. You can't call up your testimony to Bezdin and say, Bezdin, we saw this guy kill somebody. Because Bezdin's not listening to it directly from the witnesses.
This guy didn't speak the language of the people.
That's why the Bezdin had to know 70 languages.
Or
they had to have different people that understood. In fact, the Gemara is going to say a story soon with Rava. Rava set up an interpreter. So the Gemara is going to ask, it says in the Mishnah you can't have an interpreter. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, interesting. The Gemara answers soon. Rava understood the language, but he couldn't speak it. Uh-huh. So when the witnesses spoke, he understood what they said, but he couldn't talk back to them, so he put up an interpreter. But the Mishnah is saying, another interpreter, al pi shnayim edim, means you need two witnesses straight talking to Bezdin, no interpreter. Okay? So the Mishnah is finished. The Mishnah basically saying the following din. The Tanakam, Rabbi Yossi holds, let's do it, Rabbi Yossi, it's just simpler. Rabbi Yossi holds, you must have the witnesses warn the criminal. Okay? The witnesses must be the ones that warn him. Therefore, if two witnesses see from this window, and two witnesses see from this window, and there's one guy warning in the middle, it's worthless. The Chachamim hold, it's good. You don't need the witnesses to warn the guy. Anybody can warn the guy. But you need two witnesses here, two witnesses here. The question is, if they see each other, it's one group.
And if they don't see each other, there's two groups.
If they don't see each other, then there's two groups. What's the difference? If one group's partially invalidated, does it invalidate everybody or just that particular group? That's what the Mishnah said. Okay, now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvya Amar Rav. Now, Rav Zutra Bar Tuvya says in the name of Rav, Minayin La'edus Miuchedus Yipsulim. How do I know that isolated witnesses... Yakiyuda, Vava Midbeis, where are you showing him?
Yeah,
but Amid Bey's though. Page 12 on top. No. Okay. Minayin leidus miyachedashi psula. How do I know? This is another question the Gemara says. What happens if I have one witness from this window and one witness from this window and they don't see each other? Is that good or not? So the Gemara, he says, how do we know it's not kosher? He says the statement, it's not kosher. Two witnesses have to see it together.
Yes. One witness is not...
Yeah, but he says, what happens if one witness is here, one witness is here, and they don't see each other? You don't have two witnesses. Yeah, he said, how do I know it's not kosher? Because it says in the Pasuk, Lo yumas al pi eid echad. He cannot die based on the testimony of one witness. The Torah says you can't die in the... Now, he says, my echad. What does it mean here, one? Ilei me'ed echad ma'amish. If you tell me, the Torah is teaching me, one witness can't kill you. He says, I know that already from the first half of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, you must have two witnesses. Then the Torah says, he can't die with one witness. Of course, if you need two witnesses, you can't die with one witness. Why does the Torah have to tell me he can't die with one witness? The Torah doesn't say extra words. The Torah doesn't repeat itself. If the Torah says you must have two witnesses to kill somebody, why does the Torah say one witness can't kill him? Of course not. The Torah already said you need two.
That's how we learned that the witnesses have to see.
Oh, so he said, we didn't learn that. We discussed it last week. So he says, it says already, al pi shnayim edim. You need two witnesses. So he says, alamai echad, what does one witness mean? Echad, echad, one by one. In other words, what Rabbi Mazutra is saying, very simply, the Torah teaches us a din that if one witnesses see a murder, the guy cannot get killed unless if they become one group. How could they become one group if they see each other?
See each other, yes.
Now, to give you an example, in the middle of the street, somebody's killing somebody, and one guy has a house on this side of the street, and one guy has a house on this side of the street, and they're looking out the windows, and they both see the murder, and the witnesses could see each other, so then now you have two witnesses. But if the... you have one group of two witnesses. But if you have one witness and one witness that don't know of each other and don't see each other, the Torah says they cannot die based on even that one witness. Even though now you have two, but it's two individuals and you can't do it. And the Gemara Taka says, Tanya Namiochi, so we learned in the Braise that what? It says in the Pasuk, Lo Yumasapi Eid Achod, a person cannot die based on the testimony of one witness. What does it mean? Lahavi, to teach us, Shnayim Shadayin Eisei. Two people can see the murder. Echad Michalayim Zev, Echad Michalayim Zev. One guy from this window, and one guy from this window. But, and Rei and Zev, Zev, they cannot see each other. Shein Mitztafen, they don't combine. The witnesses cannot combine, unless if they see each other. And if it's one by one, it's not a good testimony. V'loy Eidin, not even more, even more. El afilu b'za'achazeh. You mustn't see even a crazier case. If two people see from the same window, one saw the first half and one saw the second half, ein mitztarfen, they don't combine. The Gemara is going to ask, what does that mean? You can't watch a half a murder. The Gemara says, not only two, in other words, the Gemara is learning off in the Pasuk, you must have two witnesses together. If you have one witness and one witness, and they don't see each other, they cannot testify together as a group that they saw the murder. Then he says even more. If both see from the same window, but to give you an example, let's say the murder took 10 minutes. The mother's going to ask, what does it mean? But simple it means, let's say the murder took 10 minutes, from 10 to 10:10. So one witness saw from 10 to 10:05. And the second witness saw from 10:05 to 10:10 from the same window. They're not mitzvahed. In other words, what happens? You know, two people. It happens. Oh, let me see. You know, first guy. The first guy watches the murder. Then the other guy said, "Let me see." And he goes away, and you go to the window, and you see. Not. You don't have two witnesses.
People are watching, and the first one says, "Let me go get help." You know, after like 2 minutes.
Whatever.
He needs to get help or something. The other one continues watching. That's one.
Okay. Yeah, you can have any case. So a guy says, let me just see, you know. So the Gemara is going to ask a very simple question. Of course. If both watching the whole thing, they don't combine, if he sees a half, for sure it's no good. Amalei Rav Papa L'Abayim. So Rav Papa said to Abayim, understand. If two people are watching from different windows, the high kochazek kula, this guy sees the whole action. The high kochazek kula meisim, this one sees the entire act. Yet, loy mitztarfid, they don't combine. Bezach or zeh, one after the next. The high kochazek paga, this guy sees a half of the story. The high kochazek paga the meisim, this guy sees a half of the story. Me boy, and he needs to teach me, it's no good. What does this braisa say? The braisa says a very simple din. Two people watching the story, but they can't see each other, are no good. Not only that, if each one sees a half, it's also no good. What if each one sees the whole murder? It's no good. If each one sees a half a murder, it's going to be good. For sure no good. What's the difference? So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, so Amar Abaye said to the Papa, it's speaking about Beil Se'erva. So therefore it means as follows. Because for adultery, for Gilei Arayis, they don't necessarily have to see the whole act. In other words, there's different parts of the act. As long as they once saw one part of the act, it's already chayiv misa. So the chiddush is that even though one only saw half, and one saw a half, but really each half itself is enough to condemn the person, it's still not mitzvahed. It still doesn't combine. There's two halves, don't make a whole. That's basically the story. But Rava says another interesting dindo. Imayurayin is a masra. But what happens if you have two single witnesses? They don't see each other, so we learn they don't combine. But the Rava is saying now, but if each one could see the warner, the guy who's warning them, then they combine. That means if two guys are looking from two different windows, they don't see each other, but both of them can see the guy who's warning Reuven not to kill Shimon. So then the fact that they jointly see the guy in the middle, the warner, the master, that combines them together.
But I thought the guy in the middle couldn't do anything anyhow because of the fact that...
That's what Rabbi Yossi holds. Rabbi Yossi says only the witnesses can warn him. But the Chachamim hold, anybody can warn him.
But if someone warns him, he's a witness automatically, no?
Huh?
Of course it is.
Somebody warns him, he's automatically a witness.
Yes, and I are two witnesses.
No, what happens if... No, what happens if he's a relative?
Is he warning him? You see, oh,
because... One second.
Yes.
Amar Rav, Rav said, you have to see this. Amar Rav, Maser Shamru, the one giving the warning, could be the victim himself. If Reuven's killing Shimon, Shimon can warn him, don't you, you're not allowed to kill me.
Yeah, okay.
Or even a shade, even a demon.
Yeah.
Even if a shade,
yeah, demon.
In the time of the Gemara, the shadim still existed.
Yeah.
And they would take human form and they would be able to warn him, whatever. He said, what is the expression? It means, this is obviously not Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Rabbi Yossi says in the Mishnah, we learned today, that the Edom have to warn him. But the Chachamim, the Tanakhama says, anybody could warn them. So Ravi says, it could be the victim himself, so that answers the question, why isn't he a witness? The victim, first of all, he's dead. Secondly, he's biased. I mean, he's dead.
The person who warns has to be alive at the time of trial?
Well, how could he warn if he wasn't alive?
No, but...
But two witnesses saw him.
No, the Gemara says no. If the victim, the guy that got killed, warned him, it's a good warning.
Yeah. As long as the witnesses.
So basically, you know what the Gemara is saying? That if the two witnesses don't see each other, but they see the victim who was warning the murderer not to kill him, then they become one group of witnesses. So the outcome of the Gemara is so far, and it's very interesting concepts. Two witnesses from different windows. It's two groups, unless if they can see each other. If they see each other, or the guy in the middle warning, it becomes one group. Therefore, if it's now four witnesses as one group, one of them's no good, they're all no good. Rabbi Yossi says that witnesses must warn him. And then the Gemara also said, the Mishnah passing says, you cannot listen to an interpreter. The Edom have to say it clearly without an interpreter. But then the Gemara says that one witness and one witness that don't see each other cannot combine for two witnesses. Unless if both of them could see the guy warning the murderer not to do it, so the fact that they both see the same guy, that joins them. And therefore it's one group of witnesses.
What if the person who's getting killed is telling them, don't get by, he doesn't speak the language?
No, warner has to understand what you're warning.
I mean, are you going to prove somebody understands something or not?
If someone's being killed, and the one is.
If I know you understand English, you understand English. I mean, what's the?
The languages.
It doesn't matter. In fact, Tosfos, if he asks a very interesting question, brings down, how can the combination be witnesses? Because basically you're killing the guy based on one witness. The guy in the middle is warning. Because he's joining the two.
Uh-huh.
So basically you're killing the guy because of him. Okay, but anyway, let's go weiter. Now the Gemara says, the Gemara says a very important thing. One witness and one witness that don't see each other do not make up two witnesses, right?
Mm-hmm.
How about by monetary laws? Not by capital punishment, not by killing. What about by money? Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman says, Eidus Miuchedus, individual witnesses, Ksheira Bedine Mominus, are kosher in monetary things. Meaning, if one witness sees Reuven give Shimon $100 as a loan, and another witness sees Reuven give Shimon $100 as a loan, even though the two witnesses don't see each other, for money, they combine to make two witnesses. Why? Because it says lo yumas al pied echad. They can't die based on one witness, which means isolated witnesses. But then in the fashu sudan kshedo, when are they not kosher? When you're talking about killing the person, avodinim amenus kshedo. But by monetary things, it's kosher. So the Gemara is saying very simply, until the Gemara's question, so the Gemara is not going to answer. But the Gemara says, for monetary laws, two different witnesses. I'll give you another example.
We saw the same thing.
If two people, a guy takes a stone and throws it at somebody's window and breaks it. So he has to pay damages, yeah, for breaking the window. The only proof you have is two witnesses that saw it from different windows, but they didn't see each other. Nevertheless, if they come to Bez and testify that Reuven broke Shimon's window, Reuven would have to pay. If they would testify Reuven killed Shimon and they didn't see each other, so then they're not kosher witnesses. I mean, they're kosher, but they're not combined to make two witnesses. But in monetary laws, the two witnesses combined, and Reuven would have to pay.
Monetary law, you said you only need one witness.
No. Monetary law, you need two. The only thing one witness can do is extract a vow. Meaning, if one witness, give you a simple example, Reuven breaks Shimon's window with one witness. Reuven says, I didn't do it. The witness comes and says, you did do it. But he's only one witness. One witness cannot extract money. One witness cannot make you pay. Two witnesses will make Reuven pay the $100 to the window. One witness cannot make Reuven pay. What could it make Reuven do? To swear against what the witness says. The witness says, you broke his window. He has to swear, I didn't break the window. It's a biblical oath. It's not midrabban, it's mina Torah. It's a shvuah from the Torah. He has to swear, I didn't break the window. Then he does not have to pay. What happens if a witness says something and he has to swear against the witness, but he can't swear? Then the din is he has to pay. It's a machlokes in the Gemara.
He can't swear or he doesn't want to swear.
No, he can't swear. I'll give you a simple thing. A guy throws a stone. He threw a stone and walked away. He doesn't know if he broke the window or not. He doesn't know. He doesn't know. The guy says, hey, you broke my window. One witness comes and says, you broke the window. I saw the way you broke the window. So what's the din? Reuven has to swear that he didn't break the window. But he can't swear he didn't break the window because he doesn't know. He can't swear, I don't know, because that's worthless. He has to swear, I didn't break the window. He said, but I can't swear because I don't know. So then he has to pay. The classic case in the Gemara Baba Basra is, I go into your house, and I take, the case over there was a becher. It's called Naschad Rebaba. It's Rebaba's din with a becher. Okay? I go into his house and take a becher. You come screaming to Beis Din that I stole your becher. You bring one witness that I took the becher. Yeah? And I say in Beis Din, yeah, I took the becher, but it's mine. Yeah, I agree I took the becher. But the becher is mine, not yours. And you say, no, it's yours. Now, what is the witness doesn't know anything. The witness knows I took the becher. Right? What do I have to swear? I didn't take the becher. Because this shvua has to be to cancel out, to swear the opposite of what the witness says. The witness says, the one witness says, you took the becher. So what do I have to swear? I didn't take the becher. But I can't swear I didn't take the becher because I said I did take the becher. But it's mine. So the din is, because you have to swear and you can't, you have to pay.
Huh?
I would have to prove it's mine. But I don't have a proof it's mine. I'm telling him, I lent you my bech, it's my bech. He says, nobody talking about it.
What can I swear that, I swear that I didn't take his bech?
No, because that's not what you swear. You have to swear the opposite of what the witness says. The witness says, you took, you have to swear I didn't take. And you can't swear I didn't take. You can't swear I didn't. You can't swear I didn't take because you did take. You need some Wheaties.
So you don't swear that. Don't swear, but then can you continue, or is it you have a chance to prove that maybe it's yours?
If you can prove it's yours, then you're not even going against the witness. The witness doesn't say you stole his becher. The witness says, we saw you take it. And I'm agreeing I took it. Right? Well, I'll give you another example. A witness says, I say to you, you owe me $100. I say to you, you owe me $100. And he says, I don't know. One witness says, you owe him $100. Right? So again, what does he really have to swear? I don't owe you $100. But you can't swear you don't know $100 because you think, I don't know. And you can't swear I don't know. I don't know doesn't make sense to swear. We know you don't know. We trust you. You don't know. But it doesn't mean anything. So you have to pay the $100. Not because one witness extracts money. One witness makes you swear. If you can't swear, then you have to pay. Then you pay.
Then you
in the case of the becher, if two witnesses say that you took the becher, the first thing you have to give the becher back. Well, not pay. You give the becher back that you took. Okay. If it's a ganav, if you have to pay kefil. Good. Right. But let's say he's a gazlan, not a ganav. See, now I want to prove it's mine. I have to bring proof that it's mine. But two witnesses extract money. Two witnesses can kill you. Here the Gemara is saying that two separate witnesses that don't see each other cannot kill you. Because it's two separate people, it's not one group. But by money, two separate witnesses that don't see each other can make you obligate the loan. It goes even more. If one witness saw the loan, and another witness heard the way he admitted the loan, he didn't see the loan, but he heard the way the guy that borrowed the money admits that I took a loan from him yesterday. You have again two witnesses that he's obligated to pay the money.
But isn't the other one only hearsay?
No, from the guy's mouth himself. Not hearsay.
Oh, yeah, that's right, from the guy's
mouth. No. Hearsay, you can't. No, it's a clear din. The Rambam says it's in Hilchaseidus and everything. If Meshe and Aaron come to you, Meshe Rabbeinu comes to you and says, you know, he lent him $100. Meshe Rabbeinu says to you, he lent him $100. Are you going to question Meshe Rabbeinu's the truth?
Of course.
But you are not allowed to testify that he gave him $100. Because did you see the loan?
No.
Did the owner admit to you? No. You heard from Meshe Rabbeinu. So that's not testimony. Testimony is you see it happen, or you hear an admission
from the person.
Shtika kahidah, yes. An admission from the person who says he owes him the money. I'm not shtika kahidah. He admits that he owes him the money.
What about in the beginning of the Gemara? We had a case that one Ed said something and others Ed something else.
Then they cancel each other out. There's no witnesses.
No, but in Mamon.
Also, they cancel each other out. There's no witnesses. You're back to square one.
But when it comes to a din, somebody could say, I heard my Rebbe say so.
That's because you're not testifying. You're basically making or telling what he ruled. And I can tell you from experience, 95% of the time they misquote you. For sure. Not 10%, 95% of the time you misquoted.
Because we hear it all over Gemara.
I hear it every day on the telephone the way I misquoted. I mean, I know. I know the way it works. 95% of the time they misquote you.
Is that what happened?
You know how many times I get phone calls, people ask me a shayla, I tell them, they said, but they heard my name differently. I said, you asked me a question, I'm answering you. Obviously, I didn't say differently. Right? So what?
was that in the J. John tour? They misquoted you. I don't want to talk about that.
Jews for Jews.
I understand.
Okay. So now the Gemara says, Maskav la Marzutra. Marzutra asks a question on Rav Nachman. It's interesting. The Gemara is going to ask a question, remain by a question, and the din is still going to be like this. Rav Nachman said a statement, one witness and one witness that don't see each other for money is counted as two. So Maskav la Marzutra, Rav Zutra asks the question, Elamiyat, if that's the case, Bidin in the Foshas Tatzel. If by money you're lenient, then by death you should also be lenient. What does it mean? Because Allah Mitana, why do we learn in our Mishnah, Hu Vahena Rogim, they and the witnesses get killed because the two groups did not become one. It's a very simple question. And the way it answers Kasha. There's a rule in the Torah, by death, the Torah says, V'hitzilu ha'edo, you have to find any leniency possible. The next Mishnah we're going to learn, if we get there today, the next Mishnah is going to learn that a Bezdin that kills somebody in 7 years or 70 years is called a killing Bezdin. By killing, the Torah says, V'hitzilu ha'edo, you have to find merit. Now the Gemara asks questions as follows. If by monetary laws you're lenient, so by death you should for sure be lenient. So if they don't see each other, they combine for money. So why don't they combine for death to make it lenient? What does it mean? And the Mishnah said, if two see and two see the murder and two see the murder from different windows, and then the din is that they don't combine. Therefore, if one group is Adam Zaymimin, right? If the one group is Adam Zaymimin, so then what's the din? It's two separate groups and the guy gets killed. But why don't we find the leniency to say it becomes one group? If by money it becomes one group, so by death for leniency it should also be one group that we shouldn't kill the guy. And the Gemara says, Kasha, you have a good question. Bottom line is, the halacha is like Rav Nachman. Anyway, when the Gemara says tiyufta, this is the rule. When the Gemara says the word tiyufta, it refutes it. The Gemara says, Kasha means, you have a good question, I don't have an answer for you, but the halacha still stays like this.
No, but that is good if there is a bedin, Edim Zomim. If not,
right.
Is it against him?
Right. So the Gemara says it should only be lenient in the case to be lenient. You're right. Only by Edim Zomim to be lenient. Uh-huh. Not to be strict. Right. Only to be lenient. But the Mishnah says if two people see from here and two people see from here, so they one, he gets killed. Why don't we get a leniency going? So where's this kasha? But in monetary law, this is dalacha, by the way. In monetary laws, two witnesses, even if they don't see each other, they combine to have two witnesses to take away the money from the guy. Okay, then the Mishnah said it then as follows. Rabbi Yossi Amed, Rabbi Yossi says that both witnesses have to warn the guy who's committing the murder. The first time is that anybody can warn him. The Beis says, no, Abishnai made him, the witnesses themselves have to warn him. So Amalei Rav Papa Labaye, well, me, Yisrael Rav Yossi Haisvara, does Rav Yossi hold such a logic? I'll show you clearly that Rav Yossi says anybody can warn him. Where do we see it? But now we learned in the Mishnah, Rav Yossi Eimer, Rav Yossi says, Haseinei Nedag, an enemy, if Reuven hates Shimon. We know Reuven hates Shimon. And Reuven kills Shimon, he doesn't need to be warned. Because the assumption is, he knew what he was doing and he did it intentionally. Premeditated. Why do you need warning? Because he's already warned. Meaning as follows. The Gemara says, and this is an interesting concept, Rabbi Yossi holds, we discussed this last week in a different context, what's the purpose of warning somebody? Why do you have to warn somebody? So the Gemara says, to know if the guy did it accidentally or intentionally. If a guy eats chazer, he gets malchus, yeah? So if you didn't warn him, maybe he did it accidentally. And for accident, chazer, you don't get malchus. So by warning him, you know that now he knows he's not allowed to do it. So the Gemara says, a Mishnah later says, an enemy is pre-warned. If an enemy killed a guy, you can assume he knew about it and he did it anyway. And who says that? Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi just got through saying in our Mishnah you need the witnesses to warn him. How could Rabbi Yossi say that sometimes you don't even need to be warned? Let me just explain this point. Remember last week we were discussing, I remember last week or 2 weeks, I don't remember. There are different types of witnesses. The witnesses that verify and witnesses that make it happen. When we were discussing, I remember last week or 2 weeks ago, if Reuven and Shimon both agree that there was a loan and he owes him money, you don't need witnesses. Why do you need witnesses? In case one guy says, I don't owe you the money, he says, yes you do, so the witnesses will clarify it. What happens if a man goes over to a woman in a room and gives her a ring and says in, privately between the two of them only, they come out of the room, he says, I did it, she says, I got it, it's worthless kedushin. It's worthless kedushin. It's not even a doubtful kedushin. It's nothing. Why is it nothing? Because by kedushin, this is the way the Rav Gutschava learns at least, Ksos argues, but the Rav Gutschava learns, and this is the way the Rebbe learns also, that the witnesses of kedushin are not there to tell us, let us know that it happened. Because everybody agrees, what's the question? They make it happen. Meaning, just like the man has to give the woman a ring, the same way, part of the action is to have two witnesses watching it. It's not to verify and tell us that it happened. This is what makes it happen. Just like if the man doesn't give anything to the girl, she's not mekudeshes. If there's no witnesses, there's no kedushin. Rabbi Yossi holds, based on the pasuk of Pishnayim Eidim, Rabbi Yossi holds, the warning of the witnesses is part of the crime. Rabbi Yossi says, because the question is, why do I need two witnesses to warn the guy? Why can't anybody warn him? What's the difference? If the purpose of warning is just to make sure the guy knows you're not allowed to, so if somebody tells him, he knows. Rabbi Yossi says, no. You can't have a shade. You can't have the victim himself. You need two witnesses to warn the guy you're not allowed to kill. Because Rabbi Yossi holds, this is part of the crime and the punishment. Just like by kedushin, the two eidos make it happen. According to Rabbi Yossi, the warning of the two witnesses is what makes it happen. Not warning. The witness is warning. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, how can a hated person doesn't need warning? How can an enemy not need warning? You need warning. So the Gemara is asking a question, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yossi. So he answers very simple. It's not Rabbi Yossi. Over there is Rabbi Yossi, but Rabbi Yehudahi. Our Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi holds, you must have the witness's warning. The Mishnah later says you don't need. That's not Rabbi Yossi. It's Rabbi Yossi but Rabbi Yehuda. Mm-hmm. It's a different guy. Mm-hmm. Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta. Stam Rabbi Yossi. In the Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta. This is Rabbi Yossi but Rabbi Yehuda. It's stuck in two different guys. The Tanya, because we learned, he says, because we taka learned clearly in a Braisa, Rabbi Yossi by Yehuda Aymer, Rabbi Yossi by Yehuda says, Chavir, a Talmud Chacham, ain't tzarech hasra, doesn't need to be warned. That means, if a Talmud Chacham is eating chazer, and two witnesses see that he's eating chazer, he doesn't need to be warned. Why? Because he says, Lefish lo nitna hasra, what's the purpose of warning? La'avchem ben sheigeg l'meizit. Yeah. To differentiate, okay, to distinguish between if he did it accidentally, or he did it intentionally, right? But the Talmud Chacham knows that you can't eat chazer.
What do you mean accidentally?
What do you
How
mean?
Do you pick it accidentally?
He didn't know you're not allowed to eat chazer. Oh. Or he didn't know this was chazer.
Yeah.
How does the Talmud Chacham know more than
that? Yeah, that's not
the Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chacham knows the halacha.
Yeah,
but he doesn't know.
No, the case that you're talking about, the guy didn't know you're not allowed to eat chazer.
So he doesn't know that you're not supposed to kill somebody?
Everybody knows they're not supposed to.
Maybe not.
That's a defense?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll give you an example. Desecrating Shabbos. Maybe the guy doesn't know you're not allowed to do this in Shabbos. So Talmud Chacham knows. So he doesn't have to be warned.
What does Talmud Chacham mean exactly?
Scholar.
No, but if a person, most people know not to kill. Does that, that then is considered to be Talmud Chacham? You have to be really knowledgeable and everything.
It depends. He has to know what's allowed, what's not allowed.
Well, I've heard people say, you know, I don't eat pork or anything. I eat bacon, but I don't eat pork or something. So they don't know the difference.
No, they'll say they'll eat trefir chicken. They won't eat chazer, but they'll eat Safeway chicken. Ralph's chicken.
It used to be good.
Yeah.
So it's breaking.
The Shaila is coming up today in reverse. The Shaila is coming up today in reverse. And I had the Shaila again today also. I mean, it's unbelievable that comes up. You have, l'mashal, somebody who's Mechal Shabbos, you can't count it for a minion, he has it done like a goy, the works. Today, as everybody knows, it's not called the person Mechal Shabbos. Mechal Shabbos means you know all about it, and you know what it's about, and you do it anyway. Today, they both don't know. They don't understand the severity of Shabbos, the strictness of Shabbos, the punishment, they don't understand. So it's called basically Tinik Shenishba. A kid that was captured and raised as a guy, and he's not from, what do you expect from him? But Lamashal, there's a whole question today, it's coming up, especially in Chabad houses or shuls that deal with non from people. Somebody who's intermarried. Can you give him an aliyah? Can you give a guy an aliyah? So if you look in Paskim, they write 100% not. Why? Because that's not Tinik Shenishba. They're right. Everybody knows he can't marry. I mean, this is, come on. This is not.
Even though his mother was Jewish?
No, if the mother's Jewish, he's Jewish.
He's Jewish. Yeah,
yeah. Okay. I'm talking about Mamish, a Jew with a guy. Yeah? Mamish, a Jew with a guy. So, Poskim, even contemporary Poskim, right? That's not Tinik Shenishba. Some people say, today, today's world, people don't even understand that it's wrong to marry a guy. They don't understand the severity like they did years ago. So some poskim want to say even that even today it's tinik shenishba. Guy calls me today from out of state.
What does that mean?
Tinik shenishba means a kid that was captured by, like the Cantonists. They were captured by the Russians when they were 5 years old. They were raised as goyim and they grew up not knowing anything.
Okay.
You can't call that a mechal shabbos because he doesn't know. Today I had an interesting shaila. A guy calls me up. He says, a guy came to Shul Shabbos for this Chabad guy in Pennsylvania. A guy came to Shul today, the Shabbos for the first time. And the guy says he knows how to lane. The guy said, you know, these guys. So he let him lane. He let him lane. And the guy said he lane beautifully. Beautifully. After davening by the Kiddush, he's talking to the guy. He's married to a Shiksa. The guy's married to a Shiksa. So says to me, can I let him lane? I mean, what's the story? Can I let him lane? Can I give him an aliyah? I said, this is the worst problem. Because a guy that can lane like that, you're not telling me that he doesn't know.
He doesn't know. That's
he doesn't know. You know what I mean? You can't tell me that he doesn't know. You can't tell me he doesn't know because the guy that knows how to lane, he says he was brought a conservative, but he learned how to lane. The guy said he laned beautifully. I said, but you see, that already may be stretching it.
Yeah.
Because if the guy knows how to lane already, they usually
but
are...
But conservative synagogues, you know, they know better.
I understand that, so I'm saying, but there's a guy that's involved in being able to lane...
So he's not allowed to lane.
I told him he can't let him.
You see someone in Shabbos going into a car and you warn him. Are they allowed to get a helio?
Even today, even with the warning, they still don't understand the severity of it.
Should you warn him?
I don't know.
Okay.
But shouldn't they warn them in those conservative?
The same thing as with cremation today. I had this yesterday. In cremation, there's a din that somebody willed to be cremated. There's no Kaddish, there's no Shiva, there's no Yartzeit, there's nothing. That's the halacha. Some people want to say that today, people don't even understand that either, that it's wrong. So there are poskim that question that maybe today, even if a guy's cremated, maybe you could say Kaddish.
Well, what if it wasn't his will to be cremated?
Then you could say Kaddish.
Mm-hmm. achievement.
That's a different story.
No, but yeah, but if you have next of kin that are not from, and they have the legal authority, you can't fight it in court. And when you kidnap the body, I mean, what do you do? That also happened. If you kidnap bodies, but you know what? You end up with a lawsuit. You can't get too far with that. But the guy that knows how to line already is more involved to know better.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. Okay, then the Gemara says, Gemara is going back to what the Mishnah says, 4 lines in the bottom of the page. It says that Shalitei Sanhedrin Shemas Mipiatum Turgamin. Bezin has to hear it from the, like we said before, the horse's mouth, from the mouth of the witnesses. By the way, the Gemara also learned out from here in Sanhedrin, they can't write the testimony either, because it turns out, Pishnaya made them. Has to be the mouth of the witnesses, they can't write the testimony. Also, the Gemara learns it has to be straight from the witness's mouth. So Gemara tells a story. Hani Lu'uzi, there were these people that spoke a foreign language, witnesses. The Asa Lakame the Rava came before Rava in a court proceeding. Okay, Rava Turgman Beinayu. And Rava appointed an interpreter to speak the language. So the Gemara right away asked Veichov in Hachiyah, how is Rav allowed to do it with an interpreter? It says in our Mishnah, Shleite Sanhedrin Shemazmin Biyatogaman, Sanhedrin can't listen to an interpreter. How did Rav set up an interpreter? So the Gemara answers, like we said before, Rav Meidava Yoda Meidava Amre. Rav understood the language, but he couldn't speak it. Vaduri Hudullahava Yoda. He was able to reply. Instead, he understood, but he couldn't reply. I once saw a letter from the Rebbe. Somebody wrote to the Rebbe in French. They wrote to the Rebbe spoke maybe 10 languages, 12 languages. The Rebbe spoke a lot of languages. So the Rebbe answered the guy, you can write to me in French, but I have to answer you in Hebrew or English because my secretaries don't speak French. The guys, the people in the Rebbe's office, the man
didn't
speak French, so the Rebbe said, you can write to me in French, but I'm going to have to answer you in their language, because they're going to have to type it. So, anyway, the Gemara says another story, top of the Zion. Eloi v'tuvya, there's another case. Eloi and Tuvya, kriva dar v'hava, they were the relatives of the guarantor, the co-signer of the loan. What happened was like this. Reuven lent Shimon $100. Let's speak more of it. Reuven lent Shimon $1,000. Reuven doesn't trust Shimon 100%. So he has what's called a guarantor, a co-signer. What does the co-signer do? He signs that if Shimon doesn't pay the loan, Reuven, he's responsible to pay the loan. These two witnesses were relatives of the co-signer, of the Orev. So now the shaila is, are they kosher witnesses on the loan or not? So the Gemara says, Savir Apapa Lemeimar. So the Apapa initially thought to say, Gabi Leiva Malva Rechikinu, but at least they're not related to the Malva and the Leiva. They're not related to the lender and the borrower, so why can't they testify on the loan? But Amar Lei Rav Huna B'dei Rav Yishur Rav Papa, but Rav Huna son of Rav Yishur said Rav Papa, they're still related here. Why? Because if the Leiva has no money to pay back, who's he going to go to? He's going to go to the co-signer. And they're related. So they're still connected to the case. Therefore, the din in Takin Rambam and Shulchan Aruch is, the witnesses can't be related to anybody in the whole spiel. They can't be related to the lender, the borrower, the co-signer.
The witness.
Well, to each other. They can't. You can't have witnesses to the co-signer. Why? Because they're still connected. You can't say they're not related. They are related. Because if the Leiva has no money, the Malva is going to go to the Ariv and he's going to go collect the money. Okay, next Mishnah. Misha Nigma Dina Yabarach. A person was sentenced by Bezin to die. Means Reuven committed a murder. Bezin Paskin, Reuven is going to get killed. But he ran away. He escaped jail. There's no jail, but he escaped. Ubalif Ne'esi Bezdin, and he comes again to the same court. Okay? In other words, Reuven was sentenced by Beis Din. He runs away, and then he decides to do tshuva, and he comes back to Beis Din. Does Beis Din have to do the whole court case again? The din is, Ein Seisin is dinay. You don't have to redo the judgment, because the same Beis Din paskened already. So he gets killed. But any place where two people get up and testify, Me'id and Anubish Pliny, that we testify about Reuven, Shenig Medina Beis Din Shel Pliny, that this and this Beis Din paskened, that Reuven has to get killed, or Pliny and play the aid of. And these are the witnesses that were in the case. Hareza Yoharig, he can get killed. That means, if Reuven, let's say, was sentenced to death, and he ran away, and he comes to a different city, and two witnesses come in a different city, and say, you know, this Reuven was sentenced to die in LA, let's say, and then they found him in New York. So they go to a Beis Din in New York, let's say, it doesn't apply today anyway, capital punishment. The people see him in New York, and they still go to Beis Din, they say, this guy, Reuven, was sentenced to death in LA, and Mr. So-and-so were his witnesses. Beis Din just kills him. But it's important, as the Mefarshim say, they have to say who the witnesses are.
Can they have to talk to those witnesses?
Huh?
They have to bring those witnesses?
They have to confront those witnesses?
No. Beis Din believes the two witnesses, what they're saying. If they're kosher witnesses. Oh. What? Huh?
Felony.
Oh, felony.
No, not felony.
Felony
means
plainly, so it's a felony. Plainly, yeah. Then it says, Sanhedrin Negis Ba'aris of Chutzlaris. The laws of Beis Din apply in Eretz Yisrael and Chutzlaris. Meaning, doesn't mean you could kill somebody in Chutzlaris. It means, if there's a Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael, still, if there's the big Beis Din still in Eretz Yisrael, and people that got smicha, not today's smicha, the real smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu, and they're in Chutz Laaretz, they can give capital punishment to Chutz Laaretz, providing their judges from Eretz Yisrael, and there's still a Beis Din existing in Eretz Yisrael. That means you can even give capital punishment in Chutz Laaretz.
They can enforce it?
Yeah, obviously if they had the jurisdiction.
Can I ask a question?
In America, obviously you can't do it. But
it
says 23 judges.
No, no, no. The different sizes of Beis Din. For monetary laws, 3. Mm-hmm. Capital punishment, minimum 23. Mm. The big Beis Din was 71. Mm. But a Beis Din of 3 can't give death. Mm. To Beis Din to kill somebody, you need at least a Beis Din of 23.
And it's always an odd number.
Always odd number. Because you can't have a hung Beis Din. Mm-hmm.
Hung jury.
Yeah, but that's why in the American system, when you have 12 jurors,
yes,
you can have 6 and 6, you're stuck.
You're stuck, yeah.
That's why some cases can be 12 to 11 to
1. Any amount of Beis Din must be an odd number.
They should do the same thing here.
Well, the Supreme Court is 9.
Yeah, Supreme Court is 9.
Because, for that reason, because they can't have a 5, if it would be 10, it would be 5 and 5.
But if it's capital punishment,
no,
it's got to be guilty by...
Two
votes. The appeals court is 3.
Yeah, but 23, by the way, what you're saying is a valid point. When a Beis Din 23 can kill, if 12 say guilty and 11 say innocent, you can't kill him. You need it by to kill somebody, you need a majority of 2. So it has to be 13 and 10. If 12 say guilty and 11 say innocent, you don't kill a guy.
And if 23 say guilty,
if 23 say guilty, you also don't kill him. If 22 say guilty, one says innocent, you kill him. That's another strange din. If 23 of the Beis Din says guilty, something's wrong. So you don't kill him.
The guy really must be bad.
No, you don't kill him.
He's got into somebody's pocket.
Oh, yeah.
Because the same reason we learned before. V'itzilu ha-se'eda, by capital punishment, you have to find favor. Uh-huh. If there's not one guy that can find favor, something's wrong with all of them. Anyway, let's finish the mission. Then this mission, what we said before. Sanhedrin ha-hereges echad b'shavua. A Sanhedrin that executes, kills somebody once in 7 years is called chayvlonis, a killing Beis Din. Okay, now, the Mefarshim say clearly, if they had to do it, they had to do it. Then it says, Rabbi Elazar ben Azayi emir, echad l'shivim shana. Not once in 7 years, once in 70 years. Then the Gemara says even better, the Mishnah says. Rab Tarfon Rabbi Kiva emirim. Rab Tarfon Rabbi Kiva say, Ilu hayinu b'Sanhedrin. If we would be in the Sanhedrin when they would still give capital punishment, le'narag adam me'elam, nobody would ever get killed. We would make the guy so crazy, the witnesses, they would never be able to kill a guy. So Amr of Shimon Gamliel le'emir. So Shimon Gamliel said to them, afein ma'abim sheikh adam b'iso. That's why there's a lot of murderers. Because you, Rabbi Kiva, and Rabbi Tarfon. Because a murderer is not afraid of killing somebody because he knows he'll always get off. In other words, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon obviously were after the Beis Din era. Beis Din stopped capital punishment midway through the second Beis HaMikdash. Okay? Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon were at the time of Chubin Beis HaMikdash. But Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon are saying, if we would be in the Beis Din, nobody would ever get killed.
How come they stopped in the middle?
Because all the Jews weren't in Eretz Yisrael and the big Beis Din went into Golus already and everything became mishmashed.
So they couldn't enforce the law?
They were not allowed to give capital punishment.
After all these laws, the faith in faith hasn't really killed too many people, has it? In the history.
What does the Gemara say? Shimon ben Shatach killed 80 witchcrafters one day.
Yeah, that's one thing.
And then they testified, they hired witnesses, and they testified against his son that he committed capital punishment, and they killed his son. They took revenge from Shimon Mishata.
Generally, not too many.
No. Because the Torah says, V'itzilo Eidi, you have to find the schus.